Psalm reading for today is Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and hath known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with mine ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thine hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed mine reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book of all my members were written, which in my continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those who rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
Let's join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts, thankful for giving us the opportunity to gather together here, one with another, in your name. Lord, we understand that within the congregation and without, people we know are struggling. There's health issues, mental issues, monetary issues, all kinds of hurt and pain. And we, Lord, we pray that you'd be with those and that you would comfort them and give them strength. Each one of us is a part of a body, Lord, and we ask that you would give us the strength to act on the gifts that you've given us to fill the voids for those people, whether it maybe even it's just understanding the word, understanding your heart, understanding who you are. And we just pray that you would give us that understanding and wisdom to, in your name, help comfort them. Lord, there's many people across the world that don't have you and don't understand who you are, and we just pray that you would send those there to minister to them so that they could understand who you are, that they would also be saved. Lord, we thank you for the pastor today. We pray that you would give him strength, give him understanding, give him words. And we also pray that, Lord, we'd be able to understand, that you would open it to our ears, that we'd be able to hear what you have to say today. Lord, we just come together and pray that prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, be granted unto you through the indwelling Holy Spirit this hour and day of worship. Amen. If you can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, we'll study that from 1 to 10. But before we do that, there's just a few things in the psalm that Miles read that I'd like to. It's such a beautiful psalm. I'd just like to. There's about four verses in there that really, for me, stand out. Obviously, the first, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. David has the understanding at this time that God searches him and knows him for who he is, what he's done, what he will do, how he has been, as far as what he's done for sin, as far as what he's done to praise God. He knows everything. He knows the down sitting and most and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thoughts of good, thoughts of evil, everything. God knows all things. You cannot hide from God, but you can worship God. The eighth verse says, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there, and if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If you're in the light or you're in the darkness, God is present. The 12th verse says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. This is a beautiful text. To the one who is the believer, who is the saint in Christ, to the one who believes in the work of the cross, it says, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light. Even when we are in darkness, he sees us as light because of the work of the cross. For the ones that do not believe in the word, it doesn't matter if you're in the light or you're in the darkness, you are as a darkness to him. Because you have to believe in the work of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, what he has done and is doing and will do for you in order to be saved. It's not what you do, it's what he has done, will do, and is going to do when he comes again. I will praise thee. I'm the 14th verse. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. From the point of the flesh, you are created beautifully in the womb, and you were born and shaped in iniquity. And at the same time, you are made beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made. And through the sanctification process in your life, where you are being set apart and being predestined and conformed to the image of Christ, you are wonderfully made. The author and finisher of your faith is making you, gleaning you from evil and pointing you to good, taking you out of darkness and bringing you into light, making you a brother in Christ, the Son of God, through the power of that Holy Spirit. And 23rd and 24th verse, if we understand that if the historian is correct, then we don't know if he is. The 139th Psalm was written before David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband. So you could read this 23rd and 24th verse in two different ways or many different ways. I look at it because David is the apple of God's eye. David is looking at it this way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. This prayer of David is daily. It's a daily thing because obviously If you're praying the prayer that, see if there be any wicked way in me, every one of us knows that there's a wicked way in us. But if we're a saint, he doesn't see the wickedness. He only sees the sainthood, the position you are in, for the simple fact of the work of the cross. And because the work of the cross hadn't happened yet, this can be a self-righteous prayer too. It could be this way. Somebody that is a Christian that is worked their way and created their own self-righteousness or tried to establish their own self-righteousness. They say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me to a way everlasting. It could be that thought where I think I'm doing pretty good. And if this is the thought, God will answer that prayer and he will show you your wicked ways. He will show you how wicked you are compared to how holy he is. He will answer it. But I do believe from the Christian perspective, this is a daily thing we pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Because I don't know it. Because I do know one thing. It's desperately wicked and no one can know it. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. The only reason why you wouldn't see a wicked way in me is because of the work of the cross. Because my sins are white as snow. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. And it's because of the work of the cross and because of the faith of Christ and because of being chosen out of darkness into light. Beautiful psalm by David. So we can go to the text now in Romans. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. The heading of my Bible says, those who believe will be saved. It's not those who believe might be saved, will be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. In verse 1, brethren, Paul is saying, my heart's desire and prayer somebody's got a phone going, I should just let that go. It's okay. I let him repeat it. Yes, I like the voice. Where was I here? So it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel. For Israel is that they might be saved. Paul is concerned about the people that he grew up with before he was Saul. Where he was following the law, the letter of the law, and he was blameless before it. And he was raised with a bunch of friends and Christian friends, or so-called Christian friends, depending on how you look at it, that were out to establish their own righteousness. And he felt bad for them because that wasn't the way to salvation. And he says this in chapter 9 of the same book. Chapter 9, he says it. Paul's concern for the Jews who aren't saved. I say, and this is the first 8 verses, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to flesh. He's saying, if I could give up the faith that I have to give to them so that they could understand it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, glory to God alone, by grace alone, through Scripture alone, if they could understand that, I would give up my belief to have them believe this. But he knew that he couldn't do that because he was a sinner. But he mourned, for he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption of sons, and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. The law did not take none effect. It showed them their sin. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. What's he saying there? There is the spiritual seed of Israel, the ones who are chosen, called to be light. And there's the ethnicity of Israel who believe by the establishing their own righteousness they can be saved, which is not light. So when he's saying not all Israel is Israel, he's saying that not all Israel will be saved, because there are some of Israel that don't believe it's by the faith of Jesus Christ through the grace of God. And it says here, who are the fathers and whose are the fathers and of whom is, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word God had taken none effect, for they are all under Israel, that for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Neither, because they are of the seed of Abraham, are they children, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. The spiritual seed will be called out of Abraham and Isaac, the chosen. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, the children of the flesh which establish their own righteousness, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed, the spiritual seed. So we have Paul concerned in chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer for God is Israel, for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What's God's righteousness? Chapter 3 of Romans. Romans 21-26, and it could go on, but I'll just read 21-26. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. So it's the faith of what Jesus did for us by dying and paying for his sins, receiving the wrath of God, imputing his perfect life into us, because we believe in the work of the cross, making us righteous. It says, faith of Christ Jesus unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have come short. We cannot establish our own righteousness. It has to be imputed. Being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is of Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be the propitiation. He replaced us on the cross through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So at the cross, the justice part of it was the fact that a just God has to have perfection. And that perfection can only come in Christ and what he has done. So our righteousness has to be imputed to us by the work of Christ. So we understand that we cannot establish our own righteousness. It's only by imputation that is established. So in the third verse of this text, it says, like I read, for they being ignorant or not knowing God's true righteousness, as it says in Romans 3, and going to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, that Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the one that will establish righteousness in us through imputation. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. If you're going to establish your own righteousness by the law, you have to do the law perfectly, which you will not be able to succeed. So the righteousness of God, the imputation of the righteousness of God, has to be done through Christ's life and through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And where does it say this? In many places. In Ephesians chapter 2. It tells us that we cannot be boasting. It tells us that in the 8th verse, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. The fact that God is gracious to you is because he gifted you grace. The fact that you have faith is because you have it, because it was gifted to you. The fact that you actually confess is because you feel broken, lowly, and contrite, and you are a sinner, and sin is exceedingly sinful, you have the ability to confess that you are a sinner. You mourn your sin. You grieve your sin. It's by God's grace that you confess. It is a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. He is the author, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You will do good works because it's been ordained in you to do it through Christ. Romans 4. This is Abraham. This is the story of Abraham. In the third verse, it says, For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed what God said, that he would be the father of many nations. It was accounted for him for righteousness. In the 14th verse, it says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, if it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, the spiritual seed of Abraham, not to them only, but which is of the law, but to them which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then from 20 to 25 of that text, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He believed what God said, and when he said it, he would do it. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, in whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It's the faith in the work of the cross that produces imputation of the righteousness, 33 perfect years. The sixth verse says of the text, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. Say not this in thine heart. Why is he saying that? Christ is sitting at the right hand of the God the Father, and he has a purpose there. Christ is not in the depths of hell. What you're saying then is if you're in anguish and you're saying, God, come down, help me here, you're saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell. And when you're in darkness and you've sinned, you say, come and help me. You're saying that you're drawing Christ up, that he hasn't paid the price. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, guides us and directs us unto all truth. We have the Holy Spirit. All of them that believe in the work of the cross, the truth of salvation, that your sins have been paid for, that the blood of Christ is enough, that when it is finished, it is finished. It's not in what we do and not in what we don't do. That is trying to establish your own righteousness. It's what he has done, is doing, and will do that we have faith in. It's faith in the author that potters the clay vessel. It's not faith in the clay vessel to listen and do right. It's faith in the potter. That's the difference. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, the word of God, which the psalmist says is to be esteemed higher than or magnified higher than his name. The word of God is to be magnified higher than Yahweh. That's how important it is. According to, I believe, the 148th Psalm. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. Why is it there? Because the Holy Spirit dwells there. Why is it there? Because at one point in your life, you were broken, lowly, and contrite, and grace entered, and faith began, and you were taken out of darkness and brought into light, where you will stay. Yes, there will be a battle. But this is what we preach, which we preach, it says. Then it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What are you confessing? You're confessing your sin here? No. You're confessing that the Lord is the Lord of your life. That Jesus is your all in all. And in thy heart, it says, you're confessing the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. You believe that he has raised him from the dead. And as alive, he lived a life that was perfect, pure, and holy. He performed the law perfectly, so we don't have to. Do we want to? Absolutely. We want to walk by what the law states. The law is beautiful and perfect and holy. But it's not for salvation. It's for ambassadorship, or what we represent in this world. We represent Jesus. We're the hands and feet of Christ. That's what it's for. We want to do the law, but not to get saved. We're saved because Christ fulfilled the law on our behalf. We don't have to do the law. We want to, because we want to be ambassadors and representatives of Christ. So it says, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed into all who believe. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my all in all. He is more important to me than anything in my life. And if he's not, I have a problem. When I wake up in the morning, I think about him. When I go to sleep at night, I think about him. When I sin, I grieve. When I don't do the right thing, I am in mourning. In Romans, I'll close with this, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, Neil prayed about suffering, everybody is suffering with some sort of struggle or challenge or whatever you call it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's going to be glory revealed in us. What's the glory? It's through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we know more about Jesus today than we did yesterday. That makes him more glorifying to us, because we have, when we get into the Word and we read the Word, and we get a nugget of truth and a nugget of grace and a nugget of faith and a nugget of peace and a nugget of hope. When we get those nuggets, we see his glory. And it's much more than yesterday. It's much more prevalent. Not because we've done anything. It's because he loves us so much that we're compelled to read, to understand. We see he's more glorious because what he is doing. We see our kids reading, our grandkids, when they learn how to read. So suffering is nothing compared to that. Nothing. Because we see a picture, a small offering of Christ, the glory of our brother, the glory of God through that Holy Spirit. We see Christ better. We see Christ and we're more hopeful. We see Christ and we're more at peace. We see Christ and we're more bold. We see Christ and we're more confident. We see Christ in our brothers and sisters and the growth that they have in Christ through their desire to read through that Holy Spirit. And we're thankful. And we pray for the body of Christ, the unity of the body of Christ, to be more and more like Christ, because that's what's going to happen. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's not whether you like it or not. You do like it, because it was up to you to conform yourself. There's no way you'd even come close. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Romans. We thank you for Paul's letter to the Romans. We thank you for the scripture alone. We thank you for this body of believers here. Father, we ask that you would give us the ability through your Holy Spirit to get tidbits, nuggets of your word so we can see your glory and magnify the word above your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with 679.